Chapter number 13 tonight. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13, we're getting reading in verse number 1 tonight. Genesis 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between thy herdmen and thy herdmen. For we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld in the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Father, I want to thank you so much for how you speak to us through your word. I want to thank you, God, tonight for salvation. I want to thank you for how clear it is, how true it is, how sure it is. And I ask tonight, God, that you'd strengthen your people. You'd strengthen this preacher tonight in this matter of staying on the course tonight. Would you have your will and your way in Jesus' name? Amen. As we come into Genesis chapter 13, we see here Abraham and Lot are about ready to part ways. Now, Abraham goes one way, and I want to tell you, as sure as we're sitting in here tonight, Lot went the clear other direction. All right, Uncle Abraham, that of course Abraham was Lot's uncle, two different men. But here's the thing, Lot trained under Abraham. And Lot knew about the things of God, and Lot would know how to reach God and how to know God. But Lot decided that he'd go a completely different direction. You know, last night as I gave the introduction to the message, I talked about those prayer warriors of ages gone by. Tonight, I think of Abraham, the men in the Bible. I think of Daniel and John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, James, and John. We think of the Wesley brothers, Charles and John, and George Whitfield, and C.H. Spurgeon, and D.L. Moody. These people, certainly, with this book, and really, may I say, God changed the world through these different men. Amen. All right? And that is the power of God. And as the common thread of these people certainly was a prayer life and time in the prayer closet with their God. But do you know what else tonight was a common thread with these men and women of God? It was their hearts as they were separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They were separated unto God, which means, in many ways, you need to be separated from the world. Now, may I say tonight, not isolated from the world. How would we ever tell others about Jesus Christ, and how else would God be glorified in your life and in mine unless we lived in the world? Right? No doubt. But I wanted you to see four choices tonight that Lot made that destroyed his separation from the world, and it destroyed his separation unto the Lord Jesus Christ, unto God. See. And so I want you to see tonight that, again, and may I emphasize, these people weren't isolated from the rest of the world, but they did manage to stay separated from its evil. And folks, that's what God wants from us. I want you to think tonight, God can do that. You've heard it say, we're not of the world, but we have to live in the world. Right? We do. You know, I think of that old preacher, Leonard Ravenhill, often said when the first thing he does, he goes out on a boat in the ocean and he catches a big old fish. He brings that thing in. He fillets it. Puts it in the oven. He puts it right there at the table. And the first thing he's got to do, now understand something, the ocean is full of salt. But the first thing he's got to do is put salt in that fish so he can eat it. Yeah, why? Well, the whole ocean's full of salt, and yet God kept all the salt out of the fish. I'm going to tell you, Christian, God can keep the evil away from you and keep you out of the evil right here in this world. Amen. And that's what he wants. And I want to tell you tonight, if I can say anything, there is power, Christian. There is power of God is in that fact of that separating from the world. And it has to do with the philosophy. It has to do with the way you think. Not a set of rules. Boom, boom, boom. Got it. Can't do this. Can't do that. Got to do this. Got to do that. No, I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, the first choice Lot made was to separate from Abraham. Now, we know here Abraham had that idea too. He said, hey, listen, we got to separate here. But listen, Abraham was a peacemaker. And he's saying, listen, Lot, let's not fight about this. All right? Abraham loved the Lord. He was a man that didn't want the conflict with his nephew there. But here's the thing. Lot didn't just separate from Abraham. Lot separated from Abraham's way of life. You see, Abraham was a man with the hand of God on his life. Lot watched and learned from his godly uncle. It says in Genesis 13, verses 8 and 9 here, it says, let there be no strife, I pray, between thee and between me, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Matthew 5, 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. Boy, we as believers ought to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. In situations, circumstances in life. And Abraham was just that. He didn't want the strife and the contention. But you see, although it may have not been altogether Lot's choice to get away from Abraham, he chose to separate from the godly principles. Don't miss it tonight, ladies and gentlemen. He chose to separate from the godly principles and the godly lifestyle that made Abraham the man of God that he was. When I was in Bible college, I went there to get the much-needed foundation in the Scripture. I needed a foundation in the Word of God. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't know anything about the Bible or anything like that. I needed a foundation. All right, and there was a young man there, and I'll never forget it. I went to the college there, and it was in the spring semester. Would have been January. It would have been their second semester, and I'm supposed to come up with a sermon outline for a preacher boys class the very first week. A sermon outline. That's why I was there, to learn how to do that. You know what I mean? And there was this fella in the dorm that came to me, and says, "Hey, listen." He says, "You're new. Let me help you." And by the way, it was a blessing. People were helpful there, okay? But he came to me, he says, let me help you. And that guy showed me how to put a sermon outline together and how to do that thing. And he was an evangelist major, all right? The kid seemed on fire for the Lord. He was all about being a preacher. He loved preaching classes. He seemed to respect the school, the teachers. He had a good attitude. Always one in the group wanting to go pray for revival or pray for this or that. And, you know, years later, Jennifer and I were at home. It was when we still had the Facebook account and everything, and we wondered, what happened to that guy? So we looked him up. And when we did, to our surprise, that man wasn't even in the ministry. And he was all about ministry. No, I don't even know if he went, I don't even know if the kid goes to church. He was married, to a woman, but he was a cross-dresser now. Yes, sir. He mocked at what he learned in school. He was angry. He was bitter at those that said he was wrong. And yet he still claimed to be a Christian. What happened? This man left the place of his Bible teaching. And he left those that taught him. And he also, after a time, left the doctrine and the principles that gave him the bedrock foundation to live a godly life. Listen, God gives us this. None of us are exempt from walking away from the doctrine that God gives us. And we've got to be so careful. And he got away from that thing and got way away. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." How do you receive Jesus Christ? By faith. By faith in his word. You don't receive Jesus Christ in a communion service. You don't receive Jesus Christ by getting baptized. You don't receive Jesus Christ tonight by even going to the Baptist church, or going to the Methodist church, or going to the Catholic church, or going to the Lutheran church, or being a member of any of those churches. No, you come to Jesus Christ because he has given the invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Amen. That's what he said. And the invitation's open, you see. And whether you're talking about Islam tonight, or whether you're talking about those that worship Buddha, or those that worship any of those other world religions out there, they're all works. You do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. No, our God did all the work on the cross.
Amen.
Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus Christ washed it white as snow. Yes, he did. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that's God the Father, hath laid on Jesus Christ, his Son, the iniquity of us all. The entire sin of the entire human race. Think of the Holocaust tonight. Think of the war crimes through history. Think of what's going on today with all the Islamic terrorists and the corruption and different things in the government. All the sin in the entire world. Think of just the sin in your own life tonight was laid on the sin bearer, Jesus Christ. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, that we might be saved from our own sin. And he suffered and he bled and he died in our place. Boy, when I went to school and we had a substitute teacher, boy, did we give it to her. I'll tell you what, we had a lady that her name was Mrs. Abbott. All right? Oh, no. Those folks know Mrs. Abbott. It was terrible. We were so mean to her. We called her Mrs. Small Game. It was terrible. All right? I mean, we're wailing spit wads all across the room. We're doing all kinds of things. Why? Well, because the regular teacher wasn't there. She just filled in. She's a substitute. Well, I say tonight that Jesus Christ was our substitute. He died for you and for me. Folks, I can't help but think that for the wages of sin is death. But the gift, isn't that glorious? It's a gift. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died to save you from your sin. And he died to save you from the penalty of that sin, which is hell in a place forever. The Bible says of Luke, in Luke chapter 16, that rich man that died and went to hell, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Listen, it wasn't no longer that he was dead and he was had to lift up his eyes in that place. He was there that quickly. Every one of us have an appointment with death. Everyone in the building. The question is, where are you going to go? Where will you be 10,000 years from tonight? Where will you be? Hey, isn't it time to get that straightened out? Isn't it time to come to the Lord Jesus? I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He's given the invitation time and time again through this old book. He's saying, come to me. I love you. I died for you. Those plane towers, or those trade tower buildings in New York City, and those planes went in, and how they crumbled and all that, I don't know, but the fact is they did crumble. No doubt. And no doubt that those planes went in there, and it was hot up in those buildings, and those people were in those buildings, and you saw it on the news clips, people jumping out of those things. I mean, jumping to certain death. Why would they do that? It's too hot. They'd rather jump to certain death than stay in that heat. Listen, there's no jumping out of hell. Hell's a place of regret. It's a place of torment. And you say, well, preacher, why would you preach on hell? It's such a horrible thing. I'll tell you why. Because hell is the truth. And God made a way out of that place. Yes, there's 1,000 roads into it, but there's not one coming out of that place. Oh, dear friend, do you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God tonight? That you belong to Him? That's the first thing. That's biblical salvation. This Baptist church won't save you. The Lutheran church down the road will not save you. Baptism won't save you. Taking communion won't save you. Doesn't matter what those people say the wafers are made of. Doesn't make a difference. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We do it because Jesus told us to do it, not because the wafers mean anything. Yeah. Please understand that tonight. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Did God say it? Can God lie? No. You call on him, he'll save you, friend. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. We can't move from that doctrine, can we? We can't move from that tonight. And I want to say, dads, moms, grandmas, grandpas, don't move from that doctrine for those little kids. You give them that precious seed of the Word of God. You sow that seed in their hearts. Please. In the last 6 months to a year, I want you to understand, Lot left the doctrine of the Word of God in the last 6 months. And you know what? He left the company of those two that had the doctrine. It matters who you hang with tonight. I'm going to tell you it matters who you hang with. Man, I got myself in so much trouble because of who I hung with sometimes in school. I found myself one night stealing golf balls up there at the driving range. And we got a charge of those things. And I got guilty and wanted to give those things back once I trusted the Lord. Because, hey, when you trust him, you want to make things right. Amen? Amen. Don't make a mess for yourself. Yes, sir. But that was the cool thing to do. You know? Just how it is. The kids today get into drugs and they get into alcohol and they get into all these parties and different things and all this. You know, it's who you hang with. It matters. And so we see that, number one, not only did Lot leave Abraham and those godly principles, okay, he left the whole thing. And he went to Sodom. Folks, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed that place because of its sin and of its wickedness. You see, the Bible says, and they were sinners before the Lord. But number two tonight, the other thing that destroyed Lot's separation from the world was Lot's choice in the direction that he pointed his home. I want to tell you right now, home matters. Home matters. And I praise God. My dad and my mother, no, we didn't have the Lord. We didn't know him, okay? I told you last night, we said the prayer every time. God is good, God is great, thank you for this food, amen. Said it every single time, every single meal. That's as much religion as I had in my house, okay? But as far as I knew, dad and mom were like this. It was sure, you know. And that's as far as I knew, okay? So whatever, hey, that's as far as I knew. I found out later that might wasn't always so sometimes, but hey, folks have trouble in things and nonetheless. But I say all that to say this. It matters what direction you point your home. It matters to those children, you see. And the Bible says when Lot pitched his tent, he pitched it toward Sodom. Listen, it was a direction away from God. If you're here tonight, it's a matter of saying, nope, no, we're going to pitch our home the other way now. Right?
And I'm talking to a crowd tonight. Many of you already decided that. We're going to pitch our tent the other way here. We're going to go toward the Lord. But now, a question. Was Lot just careless? Was he curious? Was Lot just rebellious or just foolish? I don't know. But Sodom was a place where the people lived for themselves. They lived for pleasure, to fulfill the desires of their own hearts. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners, the Bible says, before the Lord exceedingly. That's the direction the man chose. My wife and I were on a date not too long ago. We're down in Lewisburg and went to Walmart down there. And as soon as I walked in the door of the Walmart, you walk in there and the first thing I run into is pornography. You say, pornography? What else is it? It's the ladies' section or something. All right. And listen, if you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to put your head down. And you say, well, I can handle it. Friend, if you can handle that, you're desensitized. I'm going to tell you that. That's just where it is. You're desensitized and you're borderline. You watch your faithfulness in your marriage. In your mind. But nonetheless, first I walk into the Walmart down there and then they're advertising some undergarments and everything like that. And so many seductive pictures and advertisements and department stores today. If you want to walk with the Lord, you gotta look down at your feet. Of course, I got past the underwear section there, and I come across the electronics and the movie section and the kids' movies. And what a demonic selection at the kids' movies. And now listen now. It says family. Are you kidding me? Family. Who's putting that trash out? That's not family. That's Hollywood. They want that to be family so they can desensitize you and get you to the point where you'll accept their demonic baloney. That's what it is. Don't miss tomorrow night. We're going to talk more about that. A little bit of prophetic message tomorrow night, sort of, okay? And we will talk about that a little bit. What is going on with this world agenda? You see. But yes, sir, that's what it is. Listen to these. There was one called Carolyn. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. Kids' movies. I hope you don't know too much about it. All right? Carolyn. And it talked about, and I looked in the back of that thing, and I said, another world that she encounters. Well, you look on the thing. It's a spiritual realm. That's what it is. That's real, folks. All right? Paranormal. You know, it's Paranorman. You got that? You got a movie called Underworld. You got Disney's Hocus Pocus. Hey, forgive me. You researched Disney a little bit. Yeah. It's not what you think it is. Yeah. I guarantee you on that. Oh, Mr. Walt Disney that started that, he's not what you think he is either. No way. Who has the biggest homosexual gay pride rights things in America? Disney. Pfft, they can have her. That's what's going on with that. I love you enough to tell you, please. I mean, no harm, but boy, that just chaps my hide when there's deception like that going on, because there are nothing. So, all right, enough of that now. But you got The Hobbit. You got trolls and gnomes and gargoyles on those things, and nothing but demonic things there. Then you got the adult movies. Stand clear. It's like for the Christian man, it's a grenade, you know. Okay, it's a grenade, and he's swatting those thoughts like bees, trying to get away from them, right? Yes, sir. Yeah, right. And then some of those things are so right out of the satanic ceremony and pentagrams and up to the powers of darkness. All of this, what am I getting at? Hollywood, the entertainment. What do you allow in your home? What do you allow the kids to watch? What do you allow yourself to take in? You having nightmares at night? Maybe there's a reason for that. Hey, please understand tonight, things are important that way. I'm not here tonight to be Mr. Doom and Gloom. I'm here tonight to say, listen, there's a way in which God wants us to live, and he shows us in that book. He says, be ye holy, for I'm holy. That's what he said. And he means it for our good, folks, not to bind us. People think, oh, well, I used to think before I got saved, yes, sir, I'd get on the Christian Academy bus to go to Votech. Okay, and I'd watch those kids get on the Christian Academy bus, and they weren't allowed to swear. Those kids weren't even allowed to chew bubble gum. That's the way I felt. Okay, that's not really true, but that's how I looked in. I thought, man, those guys are in bondage. I don't want any of that. You know what? Age 22, I became a Christian. I realized something.
Those kids had it made. I was the one in bondage. Yes, sir. Bondage to my sin. Thinking I was something, and they didn't want any of that. No, I need that. Oh, the whole world says, in Psalm 2, I believe it is, let us break his bands asunder. Let us, like God is preventing them from doing something. No, he's the answer.
Amen.
No. So, anyway, Hollywood, sex and Satanism sells. That's just how it is, all right? Then I got to the video game section, and murder and magic and demonism and mysticism, all those things. The video games make the person playing them a participant in the underworld or make-believe setting, see? And it puts the person right into it. And like the movies, and there's one thing about it. There are good Christian movies that we can watch out there. And I watch them. I've watched them, but I want to tell you, I don't watch them a lot often because, and that's just personal, okay? I'm just telling you. I get caught up in it with my mind and my emotions. And the movie's off, and it's like, oh, yeah, well, it's another day, you know? But I was so caught up in that, it takes you another place, you see? And by the way, I'm not preaching against that. I think we ought to watch good things. You can find good entertainment, you grab onto it, all right? Because that's you know, that those, because some of those things they really edify. Okay? There's some things that edify and are a blessing. So I don't want to put that down at all, but I want to say, but these other ones, different. Mind, will, and emotions get filled with the darkness being portrayed. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. How? How do you abide? How do you abide in Jesus Christ and walk with him watching that stuff? Please, you cannot. You can't. No. Why? They're diametrically opposed. Yeah, they are. Oh, families, we need to be separated from the world. We need led of the Spirit to do that, though, guys. It's not just... there are churches out there that they will put up the list. Well, no going to the movies. No dancing. No this. No that. Oh, you shouldn't do this. Shouldn't even have any movies. Or you shouldn't... And I don't even know whatever rules. Guys, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ that draws you to him as a person. Because if you watch those things and do those things, you're not going to have a desire to come to him. You're going to feel guilty inside anyway because he's holy. And you, if you're saved tonight, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah. He's grieved with what you're taking in. You know, I caught 15 minutes of the NFL football game here some time ago, and on a Sunday afternoon, the commercials were full of half-dressed people advertising anything from beer to insurance. And the Antichrist sitcoms and TV series, you know, and the beer commercials especially were entertaining and elaborate. All right, they want to really draw you into those things, and that's the reason for that, you know, man's sinful desires to fulfill Satan's plan to desensitize and undermine God's plan for your marriage, friend, and for your home. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The counsel of the ungodly? That's what's on the TV. A lot of it. Standing in the way of sinners? Sitting in the seat of the scornful? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Listen. Which way is your home pointing tonight? I sat there and I watched a television program that was advertised about two women getting married. Yes, sir. And as if that was normal. By the way, that's what your public school's teaching. All these things we're talking about are not new. It is present day Sodom. That's where you're living. That's where you're at tonight. And Christian, you cannot see and hear these things and abide in Jesus Christ at the same time. No, sir. Why? Because these brains that we have, they're a lot better computer than IBM ever came up with. Or Apple or any of them. God made these. And I want to tell you, they're like a sponge. How do I know that? Because I hear one song, and I got a six-year-old girl with curly hair that can go ahead and go up in her room and just wail that song right out, and the first time she hears it. Yes, sir. Yep. You're quite wondering why the other things don't kind of click, okay? but she can get that done. Yep. She's a little lady. Yep. So, yes, we're like sponges, and we soak up whatever is put in there. You say, okay, well, you watch a football game from time to time. 2.5 to 3 hours, you're saturated in modern-day Sodom. You say, preacher, are you saying we shouldn't watch football? I'm saying this. You let God tell you whether or not you should watch it after the message tonight.
Yeah.
Not the preacher. Not, you're not accountable. I'm not accountable to any preacher. You're accountable to God and his book.
Yeah.
I appeal to the authority of the word of God. Not me tonight. No, sir. No. And I'm not talking about the guy carrying the football. There's nothing wrong with football. Everything else around it.
Nope.
How could I go? You got Beyonce doing the halftime show and all this and doing the whole... No, okay, enough of that. But you got the picture, all right? How much time do you spend reading and memorizing and meditating on this book? Between you and God tonight. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Hear me, he paid a terrible price. He did. Which way is your tent pitched? What is it? There's some of you sitting here tonight. You got some borderline stuff in your entertainment closet. It's borderline. Is it worth it? Is it worth it tonight? Number one, Lot made a decision to leave godly principles. Number two, Lot made a decision in the direction of his home. Number three tonight, Lot made a choice in pursuing worldly popularity. Please turn over to Genesis chapter 19. We're going to see Mr. Lot here. Genesis 19:1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. Now these angels were coming in to warn Lot because the judgment was a-coming. All right? I want to tell you, a judgment's a-coming for America. A judgment's a-coming for the world here. It's getting like the days of Noah, and no preacher, no man, no guy knows the time in which that's going to take place, but it is going to take place. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, he saw these angels, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Here we have Lot sitting in the gate. In the gate of the most wicked city on planet Earth. That's where he is. After getting the training that the man had. Hey, young people, take in the training you have. Don't depart from it. This book.
Amen.
Now, Lot had a position of influence, of power. The people that sat in the gates were the elders of the cities. These were politicians. These were statesmen. He had a position of power, of wealth, of influence in the most wicked city on earth. And this man achieved great success, guys, in the eyes of the world. But it came with a great price. What do you want to be known for? I see guys driving their pickup trucks down the road. Deer Slayer, right? I see guys, and whatever. Everybody wants to be known for something. Question. Get real with yourself. Get real with God tonight, would you? In your heart, what do you want to be known for? It's something. I mean, it's reality. You want to be known for something. Why? Because we all have that wanting to be puffed up. We all want to have that ego. Now, again, some of that's good in the sense that it makes us tick. Understand that? But what is it? I just want to have an edge on somebody else about this. Nail that thing down. Say, yep, that's an idol right there. Just go ahead and do it right in your mind and heart right now. Say, yep, I do have an idol right there. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it tonight? Pursuing worldly popularity. I'm known by this. You know. Yeah. 1 John 2, verses 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Think of that poor fellow who just wants money all the time. You say he's poor. No, he's rich. No, he's poor in this world. The world might think he's rich, but he's poor. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, doesn't say money, it says the love of it. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Wait a minute, did it just say all? Must be all. That's what God said. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which what? Which while some, having coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yes, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You think all the things are in that. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare, perdition, destruction, all that thing in one verse. For Lot to be in this position of wealth and influence, he had to compromise his convictions, guys. He had to compromise what was going on with this book and what he knew about it. Last year in the fall, and it wasn't last year, it was several years back is when it was. I had a lady call me up and told me that that she owned all this property in State College, okay? And she had all kinds of property, and she had all kinds of tree work. And she wanted to know, she's the last tree guy. He says, that guy just didn't get nuts done, and this and that. He says, and she thought she could work with me, and we could work something out. And I jumped on this, right? Because I thought, oh, yeah, I can get that work, right? Okay. Well, anyway, she had a lot to do, but she wanted me to drop everything and come and do her stuff. That's what she wanted. At the drop of a hat, and I thought, boy, if I could just get that. We're going into winter, and I thought, that would be a great time to have that. And anyway, I wanted her work. And I tried to accommodate her, but I had other customers. I have a family. I have a ministry. And I found myself stressed out, worn out, pulled five different ways so that I could please this woman. You know what the conclusion I came to? The only way I could keep this very demanding lady happy and all her work was to put her demands above my God-given priorities and responsibilities. Yeah, that's the only way I could have done it. I mean it. God's number one. Amen. Jennifer's number two. Kids, number three. The ministry God called me to, number four. The work she offered was so-called security, is what I felt. And it was supposed to bring security to my business. But it wasn't worth it. Lot's decision to pursue his position of influence and wealth in Sodom cost him his marriage. He lost his marriage, guys. He lost his family because his girls were at incest and a whole nine yards. Drunkenness. It was a train wreck. The very position that he was aiming for, he lost. Lot got entangled with the world's ways of success. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, no man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him, that's Jesus, who hath chosen him, that's the guy, to be a soldier. We're soldiers. We've got a purpose, and it's his eternal purposes. What are you pursuing? Number four, pursuing worldly popularity. What's the little niche that you want to be known for? We all have it. What is it? Now, Number four, Lot's choice. This is the fourth thing that destroyed Lot's separation from the world, in ignoring the vexation of his own soul. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 4. No, 2 Peter chapter 2. Isn't it nice that on some of the Old Testament that the New Testament commentates and gives us commentary on it? So anyway, 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll pick it up there in verse number 4. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness." Folks, what are those chains of darkness like? Imagine that. You want to talk about despair? Chains of darkness. "To be reserved unto judgment." And verse 5 says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample," or an example, "unto those that after should live ungodly." Look at verse 7. "And delivered just Lot." You know, Lot had some sort of relationship with God. Lot is a type of a carnal Christian. A person who is saved that just never seems to get it right. They just can't get over their flesh. They just can't seem to have the discipline to press on, to get in this book, and to live what God wants them to do, to allow this book to live through them. That they've not come to that. They just do what they want to do. And I want to tell you right now, if you're in here tonight and that is your testimony, you're miserable. You say, "Well, I'm not miserable, and that's my testimony." Then, friend, you're not saved. See, that's awful strong preaching. You know what? God chastens those that he loves. The King James Bible uses the word, if you're not a child of God, a bastard. That's the language. Illegitimate child. God says, "No, you're not one of mine then." So, again, Lot here had a relationship, some sort of relationship, but he belonged to God. And the Bible says it vexed, he was vexed with the filthy conversation or the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. Outwardly, Lot appeared successful and prosperous because of his decisions. The Bible says that his righteous soul was vexed, labored down. That's what it means. In turmoil. Lot is simply a Bible picture of a saved man or woman that chooses to go down a road of worldly gain and pleasure, which brings the chastening hand of God. These individuals belong to God, and therefore their souls are vexed, even though Lot's soul was in turmoil. It was tormented. He chose to live out his choices. He chose to live this thing out. Do you want to choose to live that kind of life out tonight? I don't. Are you living in Sodom? Is your home pitched towards Sodom tonight? Are you living? Hey, could it be you're living on the edge tonight? It's time to get out. Leviticus 20 and verse 26 says, God said this about his people. He said, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. Now listen to the wording. "For I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you." Severed you from other people. He wants you to himself, Christian. He wants your heart. That's what he wants. He wants your heart tonight. All of it. Whatever it is, that little thing that's in your heart, that idol, whatever it might be. He says, "No, I want you to lay that down and put me in its place. And let him give back what he wants to give back to you as long as you're under his authority." Does that make sense tonight? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will be a father unto you. I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I will walk in you. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What part hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, that's us, are the temple of the living God. If you're saved tonight, you belong to God. Are you sure you belong to him tonight? Have you trusted him? Or are you trusting in what you've done all your life? You trust in him. Him alone. Well, you know, I trust I trust him, yeah, but I also got baptized. Nope, doesn't count. Listen, he'll have all the credit, or you go to hell forever. Yeah. Why? Because he gave it all. He's worthy of it. He wants it all. And he deserves it all. That's the thing about this God that we serve. He's a jealous God. You will not give his glory to anybody else. You're not going to make a half step toward him and he's going to give you credit for half and let you in the kingdom. No, sir. He paid it all. That is the Bible truth of the matter. Are you saved? Do you know it? When one of God's dear children live in and around Sodom, it brings Sodom right into the home and into the life. I'm going to close this illustration tonight. In the CDT, there was an article. They have that Dear Abby. How many are familiar with Dear Abby? Yeah. Yep. And anyway, it says this. Dear Abby, I'm 14, young girl. I'm starting my freshman year in high school. My best friend is gay. And when I asked her if she wanted to join any clubs together, she suggested the Gay Straight Alliance Club. As a saved Christian, I'm unsure. I believe Christians should treat homosexuals with kindness and respect. I believe also in same-sex marriage because of the legal protection it gives a couple. I respect my friend's decision, and I'm happy she's happy with her life. I'm afraid if my church found out, they would dislike me for joining, as well as question where I stand as a Christian. Can you help? Now listen, I'm not going to get into Dear Abby's answer because she has no biblical foundation in her life whatsoever. Yeah. So, whatever. We're dealing with this young girl. Number one. 14-year-old girl said this. I believe we should treat homosexuals with kindness and respect. Right on. They need the Lord. They need him. And they need to know and see the love of Christ flowing through us that they might come to him. He died for them. He loves them. He wants them to come to him. But the second thing, we see a confused young girl. She's unsure about joining the Gay Straight Club. This is a gray area to her. Oh, hey, folks, that shouldn't be a gray area to us, to join up with the gay club. Listen, that's you join the gay club, you're saying, well, it's okay, and God's okay with it. You say, well, I'm not saying God's okay with it. Yes, you are, because you belong to him. The temple of God doesn't belong to a gay club. And if you're saved tonight, that's what you are. You're God's holy temple.
Amen.
The other thing. She says this about same-sex marriage. She believes in it. In other words, it's okay because the law protects it. No. No. It is sin. It is sin. It is sin, and it is a temptation. It is a sin because we could say, oh, well, the adulterer, it's okay because he was born that way. Right? Well, sure, the adulterer, he was born that way. Everybody was born that way. We all got a heart of adultery in us at one point or another. That's just how it is. Impure thinking. This sin's no different.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. So there's, she's confused here. The other thing is, this young Christian girl is happy for her gay friend because her gay friend is happy with her life. No. No. Ladies and gentlemen, that gay young lady needs Christ's life in her. Mm-hmm. Nothing happy about that gay life.
Right.
In fact, there's some of the most miserable people on planet Earth. That's why we need to love them. And help them. And be nice to them. But we cannot condone that sin and act like it's okay and hold hands with that thing. You see, folks, with today's media, with the culture today, with the entertainment industry we talked about today in Hollywood, with the public education today, with the perverseness and wickedness of society today, I ask you a question. Do you want your children and grandchildren to think like this young lady? I don't know where Dad and Mom are, but listen, the tent somewhere pitched towards Sodom. I just say it to reach out to you tonight and say, listen, we don't want our tents there. You can't afford to make life choices, the life choices that Lot made, because those choices destroyed his family and his home. Lot chose wrong people to spend time with. Lot's home pointed the wrong direction. Lot chose popularity rather than God's way to please everybody, and he ignored his conscience and suffered dearly. What's God speaking to you about tonight? What specific thing would God say to you about your home, about your thought life, about the idols of your heart? What would it be? Would you be willing to be honest and transparent before him tonight and give those things over tonight? And to say, oh, yes, I'm going to make a confession. I want people to know, yes, that I'm a tree guy and that I can cut down trees. And that when they think of that, they think of me. Yeah, I want to tell you, that's one thing that I would struggle with. What's yours? That's why I offer it tonight. I hate offering those things. But that's how it is. What's yours tonight? Well, I want to be known for this. Let God have his way tonight. Everybody stand for prayer. Let's stand tonight for prayer.